Welcome to Rome. This is The Bittersweet Life with Katie Sewell and Tiffany Parks. Hello, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell.
I'm Tiffany Parks.
Tiffany in Rome, Katie in Seattle. Yesterday, if you're listening to this on the Monday it came out, was St. Patrick's Day. We're not really going to talk about St. Patrick's Day. What we're going to do instead is talk about New Year's. You'll find out why in just a moment. So obviously, New Year's is a big deal when we are in the turn of the year. You know, it's pretty much all we hear about between Christmas and New Year's. Part of that is because everybody's on holiday and the news media has got to talk about something. So they start talking about New Year's resolutions. And on this show, we take some time to sit down, pledge to do something, reflect on what we did the prior year. And this whole idea came about by one of our listeners, a man named Tyler, who wrote asking me about one of my New Year's resolutions that I promised to do in December, which was have a video-free January. And he was wanting to know how that went now that we are indeed in March. Originally, I told him, no, we can't talk about that till the end of the year. And then I thought, well, why not? Let's talk about it. But Tiffany, you also pointed out, and maybe this is kind of a fun way to start, that when it comes to New Year's used to be in March?
Well, yes, a very, very long time ago, prior to Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar redid the calendar, the Julian calendar, and I believe it was in that change, because the calendar has been done, you know, many times. Of course, it was redone in the 1500s. That's the Gregorian calendar, which is the one we have today. But I believe it was in the Julian reform that the start of the year was moved to January 1st, because it was originally in March. Now, you're going to ask me, was it March 1st? I'm not sure. I don't know if it was March 1st or if it was like the first day of spring. I feel like why would the new year be in March? Maybe because it's the beginning of spring and spring feels like the beginning of something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was mid-March, late March, the 1st of March. I probably knew at one time, but I know that it was March. And one of the reasons that I know it was March was because several of the months have the name of the number of the month they are in them.
Hmm.
Right? We have September, which has the word 7 in it, although it's the 9th month. We have October, which has the number 8 in it, octo, but it's the 10th month. And November, again, 9, but it's the 11th month. December, of course, 10, but it's the 12th month. So those were originally, September was the 7th month, October was the 8th month, etc. And in fact, August wasn't called August back then, but it was called Sextilius. And that comes from the word, the number 6.
Right.
And the month July was not called July yet. It was Quintilius, which comes from the number 5. So July was the 5th month.
Hmm.
The other earlier months in the year were not named after the numbers. They were named after different gods or different festivals. But those months from July to December were named after the numbers. And so it's very clear that the year did not start in January back in those days. It started in March. So this could be, I mean, and I think in other cultures, I know that in China, the new year starts in February, or the Jewish New Year, which is Rosh Hashanah, which is in the fall. So, you know, your new year does not have to start in January. For our purposes, it can start in March this year.
I mean, of course, we'd have to hypothetically think about it, but do you feel like you'd have a different approach to New Year's if it was happening in March rather than in January? Like, or, you know, at the very end of the Christmas season?
I mean, you know, it would be totally different. I can feel how it would work. I can feel how a March would be a good start to the year. It makes sense to me as far as with the seasons. Because
mm-hmm.
to start a new year in the middle of a season is kind of weird, whereas to start a new year at the beginning of a season, and March really feels like the beginning of spring, and spring really feels like it should be the beginning of the year, kind of. I mean, it makes sense to me. What I like about having New Year in January is Christmas really does feel like the ending the year on a high note, sort of, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you everything kind of is leading up to that. You've got all your fall holidays leading up to Christmas, and then you got the big bang. You got Christmas comes, celebrations, New Year's, and then start the new year. But it's really a terrible time to start the new year, really, because you've just overindulged, right? Mm-hmm. All through Christmas. Basically, since Thanksgiving, you've been overindulging. And all of a sudden, on January 1st, like completely randomly, you're supposed to suddenly have these amazing habits. And you're supposed to suddenly be eating well, exercising. And also, I mean, what a horrible time of year to start an exercise regimen, right? I mean, it's dark, it's cold. Like, the last thing you want to do is get up in the morning early and go running on January 1st, right? Yeah. It's like the worst time of year to turn over a new leaf.
It's
so
true.
In that sense, I think, yeah, I think March is way better.
It's true in the sense, too, that it's immediately like you've had all this fun. Now you should feel guilty about it. Get your act together.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, yeah, pull the reins on all the good times you've been having. From now on, you shall accomplish goals. Maybe it is a bad approach. You know, maybe it is. It's like a buzzkill to the fun you've been having. It's like, okay, life has gotten too unserious.
Yeah.
Time to rein it in, you know?
Yeah, and there's no good holidays, really, in the first, at least until, you know, I guess you could say until Valentine's Day, but Valentine's Day is kind of a crappy holiday anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's not even anything to look forward to except for Carnevale if you're in Italy or in Brazil, I suppose. But there's not a lot to look forward to in those first 2 months of the year except just more cold and darkness, mm-hmm, in most parts of the Northern Hemisphere, at least. So, yeah, I would get behind changing the start of the year back to March. We should start a campaign.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, even now, we are in the season of Lent right now. In certain religious traditions, it's not only that you have to rein it in on January 1st. You really rein it in come Lent. And you give up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Give it all up. And then you can have chocolate on Easter morning. That is your gift. But, you know, I don't know. Are you a give things up for Lent kind of person?
I used to sort of love the idea of Lent, and I would generally give something up, but I was not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it was a little bit arbitrary. And now I'm a Catholic, and now I don't do it. It's like, ever since I actually officially became a Catholic, I stopped observing Lent. It's really horrible. Maybe it's like my inner Protestant saying, no, you're not actually a Catholic. You don't have to do this. So no, I really don't usually. Do you?
I have in the past. I spent 7 years as a teenager and person in my 20s as a vegetarian. And I'm fairly positive that started with a Lent, that I was like, I'm going to be vegetarian, mm-hmm, during Lent, and then just carried on for the next 7 years until I was tempted by a cured meat sausage that just looked too delicious to ignore. Derek, though, who I share my home with, loves giving up stuff for Lent. And so this year he is fully vegan for the month of, or for the time of Lent, I should say, since it's longer than a month. He, I know, has given up other things too, but I couldn't necessarily tell you what they are. And there is something I've noticed about this that brings out the rebellious teenager in me. If he says, we are going vegan for Lent, I will be in instant rebellion. Whether or not I wanted to eat more vegetables or I believe in being vegan, I will think to him, well, you can't tell me what to do. I'm not going to be vegan for Lent. Now, that said, I have tried to facilitate his goal of being vegan. So when we are eating together, you know, I make a point of trying to come up with vegan options or agreeing to whatever vegan options he puts on the table. And I actually like eating vegan. I'm totally cool, okay, with it. It's more that I don't like being told what I can and cannot do. Thing
that makes
about
perfect
me.
Sense. It's interesting how more than one religion has a Lent-like time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in Islam, you've got Ramadan,
mm-hmm,
in which fasting is going on, a specific type of fasting. In Catholicism, you have Lent, which now has kind of become give up whatever is hard for you to give up. But originally it was no meat, you know, no, you know, sugary, sweet or fatty food, stuff like that. And I'm not sure if I believe there is fasting going on as well in Judaism. I can't remember for what holiday it is or if there's more than one. But it's really interesting. I've always thought that these major world religions have fasting as a big, important part of the year. And, it's sort of put under this religious heading. Like, we do this as a way of, either atoning or preparing for Easter or whatever it is for that particular religion. When the truth is, I think, and this is way off topic, but I just want to, since we're talking about it, I really think it was a health reason. I think that people living thousands of years ago realized how healthy occasional fasting was, and that we should all do it once a year for, a certain amount of time. Not necessarily a 100% fast, but like a cutting out of something like meat. And like, okay, let's just say that we're doing it for religious reasons. But actually, I kind of feel like it was for health reasons all along. But anyways, that's just, like I said, off topic or adjacent to the topic, but interesting.
Well, one thing Derek would say is that, and the reason he likes to do it beyond just the challenge, and probably for health reasons, honestly, is that he likes to either fast or give something up for Lent because for him it slows down time. It marks the time that it's so easy to like let New Year's Eve happen and it rush into Easter. For him, if he makes life a little more challenging in the middle, then it makes the days feel like they go by slower. And so it's kind of his way of, not walking blindly through the weeks and months from one celebration to another. Katie here popping in for just a moment. I want to give you something to think about. If you live in the United States, chances are that you are already sick of talking about politics in the lead up to the election that we are facing in November. According to the Pew Research Center, 65% of Americans, when asked, said they felt exhausted at the thought of politics. We are just getting started in this election cycle. And no matter what side you stand on, one thing we can all be certain of is this is going to be an exhausting, irritating, and stressful election year, most likely. So here's something I want you to think about. When the election is exactly 1 month away, where would you like to be? Do you want to be at home, stressing out in the last month before the election? Or would you prefer to be in Rome, seeing how this beautiful and ancient city still influences our thought and life and culture today? Do you want to be seeing hidden sights that tourists and locals alike never get to see? This October 2024, from the 6th to the 12th, Tiffany and I are taking a group of lucky listeners on a tour through Rome, a tour like no other. We want to open doors of thought and sight so that you walk away from Rome feeling refreshed rather than exhausted. And what could feel better during an election year than being refreshed and inspired rather than depleted and annoyed? Space is limited to 10 rooms only. You can come by yourself or bring a friend. I hope you will consider joining us. Send us an email, bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com, and I will send you all of the details. bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com. And how great it is? Well, you don't just have to take my word for it. Here is one of our listeners who traveled with us to Rome last year.
This was really an amazing week. I really feel like we got to see so many things that most tourists probably don't see in Rome. All the little secret places, so much history, and just so much depth of knowledge. Our hosts, Tiffany and Katie, are really amazing, and their knowledge of Rome is amazing. And even beyond the tours, we got a whole booklet of great places to eat, great places to see, walking tours. It was such a fantastic trip, and I'm just so glad I came.
All right. Send us a note. Let us give you all the information. bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com. Come to Rome and be renewed in the run-up to this election. Now back to the show. So I want to read part of an email that Tyler sent. So he had mentioned to me that he had some indeterminate irons in the fire to try to spend some time away from the U.S. for his first time since COVID. And so he had asked for me to comment on what it was like to have a TV-free January. And I had written him back and asked him, is going on a trip after COVID one of your resolutions? So that's how we get the email that I want to cite from and then for us to talk about. He says, first he explains why he would be interested in hearing about my TV-free January, because he's thinking about limiting his YouTube consumption during Lent. I had asked him if he had made any resolutions, and he answered, yes, I made several resolutions, and several of them are complete. I am one of those few people I know who actually does them. New Year's is actually my favorite secular holiday. It's about new beginnings, which to me always has a subtext of self-improvement. And it's low-key compared to other holidays, which fits my personality. New Year's doesn't impose, it proposes. I like that. That's very nice. Doesn't impose, but it proposes. It's the holiday that is a helpful suggestion in as much as it's a mile marker. I am on the same wavelength as you, and that I like to have some that I can accomplish in a day. It is a lot less intimidating. A good friend commented that my resolutions list struck her as an extended to-do list. That it is, in that once I leave, and he's talking about leaving the country, it will be more difficult to carry any of it out, though leaving is also on the list. Some are rather personal, but I have accomplished growing my beard out, finishing a will, starting my personal training, and simplifying my collection of physical objects. That's part of Tyler's note. I love that. So since you asked, I can give a quick update on what video-free January was like, if you want to hear it. I will say first off that I was successful at video-free January, with one exception.
Nice job.
I mean, video-free January was like video-free. So that means no television, no movies, no clips on YouTube, no clips on Instagram, no clips when you're reading the newspaper. When it says click here to watch footage from whatever, you can't click on it. It really restricts what you can do in a way that's way more wide-reaching than you ever suspect before you start doing something like this. You know, and we've talked about on the show before how there's video everywhere. I mean, there's video in, I don't know if this is the true in Italy, but here in the United States, there can be video on the street, on a billboard. There can be video in a bar or a restaurant. There's just video everywhere. It's just moving images constantly. Anyway, I also gave up any games on my phone that I was playing, which were not tons, but enough, you know, that I realized during the month that I didn't really know what to do with my hands when I was just trying to sit and listen to something. And normally I'd be fidgeting with some game at the same time. And that was very hard to get used to. And I will say that for the first like 10 days of the video-free period of time, I felt kind of twitchy where, you know, I just didn't know what to do with myself. It's like I was able to come up with things to do with myself, but it just felt, you just felt like slightly off, like a undercurrent buzzing happening. And you're constantly having accidentally encountering video on your phone and being like, ah! You know, and so you have to put your phone away because video's everywhere. I say with one exception, because we did find that when it came to a Friday night, after a very long week, after a week, by the way, of never being able to sit down and watch anything or do anything on your phone.
Yeah.
So every time you're trying to relax, you're reading, you're playing games, you're cleaning the house, you're making stuff, you're out taking long walks in the middle of the night. Like, you know, you're constantly filling this time. We did find that by the time we got to Friday, at the end of a long week where we've read so many books and done so many crossword puzzles, that we just wanted to watch something, you know, it just wanted to sit and watch something. And so we did make an exception and said if we could choose a movie to watch without doing tons of scrolling, like we kind of had an idea when we sat down, we could rent one movie on a Friday and watch that. And then we had to get up and go do other things. I will say that what was interesting was, one, how much more interesting a movie is to me when it's the only thing I'm able to watch. Where oftentimes if I'm watching things willy-nilly, I can get really bored in movies and just sort of wander away. And I also did find that after a good 10, because we didn't cave for a while. Like, we probably caved 2 weeks in to being like, okay, maybe we need a movie. But I did find that when we were scrolling, trying to find the movie that we wanted to watch, that the scrolling was insufferable after not watching any video at all. It was like immediately your brain, it's almost like too much. So I think it was interesting that it was successful in calming my brain, I think. You know, eventually that twitchiness went away. And I do find that even still, now, here in March, that I just don't find TV and the videos that I encounter as interesting as maybe I did prior. And so I still am reading more, or I still am like maybe watching one thing for a half an hour, but then shutting it off and going and doing something else. So something has changed. Something has held, you know?
Yeah.
So that's good.
Interesting. That is interesting. I think I need to try that one day. Mm-hmm. I would like to try it one day. I don't see my video consumption is weird because I don't really watch Netflix. I mean, I have Netflix and every so often I can't handle the scroll either. Like I will not watch something because I don't want to look for something to watch. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, so funny, because when I was a kid and I was watching TV at home and I happened to find a movie on, any movie would do, you know? It was like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's a movie. I've seen it 7 times. That's fine. I'm just going to watch it again. But now it's like you scroll and it's like nothing sounds good. Like absolutely. I'm like, mm-hmm. Am I going to try this? Like, no, it's not worth it. It's mm-hmm. not worth it even to try. You know, yeah. Like there's 3,000 films on here and not one of them sounds good, you know? So that's probably the main reason I don't watch anything. But what I do is I watch too much YouTube and I don't like sit down to watch YouTube and do nothing else. Because I think I would get bored, but I will have it on in the background when I am washing dishes or cooking, because I get very bored when I'm cooking. I really hate cooking. I mean, I hate the tedious aspects of like chopping vegetables and stuff. So I'll put on a video, or sometimes if I'm having breakfast, I'll have YouTube on, and I think it probably adds up to way more than I can imagine. Mm-hmm. If I were to like add up the minutes that I'm on there, and I'm like, oh, I don't watch TV, no. And but I'm like, well, actually, you do. You do probably watch a lot. And I'm getting to the point, if I'm doing something mindless, like hanging laundry, for example, I like need to be entertained. I need either a podcast or I need some YouTube thing, which I don't even have to watch it. I can just listen to it as if it's a podcast, mm-hmm. but I kind of need something.
Yeah.
And I mean, the truth is I don't need it, but I feel like I need it, which is just as bad. So I do need to try that someday. I don't know when that day will come.
Maybe next year. I mean, I hear you on that, in that maybe, I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm doing tasks like that also, you know, so it's not like I became a stoic and was now cooking while contemplating my thoughts. I was still listening to podcasts. Yeah. Going on long walks so I can listen to podcasts, you know, since I can't watch TV and I can't do anything with my hands. Mm-hmm. If it had gone on longer.
Well, you could knit, Katie. You could knit.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If it had gone on longer, I probably would have taken up something like knitting or needlepoint. And I now understand, like, why did the Victorians do so much needlepoint? I mean, if you're sitting there just listening to your friends talk all the time, why not be doing something with your hands? Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Another listener has asked us to one day do a show. And I don't know if this would be a show or if we should do this over on the Patreon. But one listener has asked that they would like us to do a show where we talk about podcasts that we actually listen to. And maybe we can do either a bonus episode someday about what we actually listen to. That could be a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So there you go, Tyler. That's how it went. And good luck with giving up YouTube. you and Tiffany, you can be the pioneer of giving up YouTube for Tiffany and let us know how it goes. And Tiffany, I know that you have not done your 1 month experiment yet because you promised to do 1 month of no spending, but that has not yet occurred. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. No, because my idea was to do it in February, being the shortest month, but I went to Germany in February. It was just a long weekend, but I couldn't be expected not to buy anything or not to go out to eat. So that didn't work. And then we're now in March and I am going to the States at the end of the month and I'm not going to come back until the beginning of April. So that means March and April are out too. So we're looking at May. Yeah. We'll see. My anniversary is in May. So maybe I can make an exception for an anniversary present for my husband. But, you know, I'll try it. I need to make an effort at least. Even if I fail, I've got to make an effort.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, I've done mine one in a day, but I don't want to talk about that until we get to the New Year's actual episode, the New Year's resolution episode, because I did some recording with that one that I want to share. So stick with us until next year, 2025. And then I have been reading the New York Times 2023 Best Of list. And I'm only telling you that because it goes with my January no TV watching thing, which is that accompanied with my now reluctance to watch television because I find it so boring since that experiment. I've already read something like 12 to 14 books this year, which is insane. It's an insane amount of books.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Some of them were over 600 pages. It's not just comic books. It's real stuff. There's a lot of time when you're not watching television or any kind of video while you're sitting eating.
Well, that's the thing.
Anything else. Yeah.
Honestly, like that, a lot of people, you know, sometimes I'll talk to my mom about it and she'll say, oh, you're so, she's like, oh, you got to watch this show. You got to watch that show. And I'm just like, like, I'd kind of rather be reading. And I don't say that to sound like, oh my gosh, I'm such an intellectual and I don't watch videos. I just read. It's not true at all. I've just totally confessed to my YouTube addiction. So so clearly it's not that, but it's habit. It's all about habit. And I truly believe that when you get into the habit of reading, it is so much more entertaining than watching something. And now, of course, going to a movie on the big screen that's just like an exceptional movie, that's a totally different type of entertainment. And it's much more exciting. And it's absolutely something that I still want to continue doing, obviously. But just like the day-to-day, okay, it's the end of the day. I'm tired, but I'm not ready to go to sleep yet. What do I yearn for? Like, what do I really feel like would just be indulgent? And it's honestly reading.
Hmm.
It just is. And it's only because I think I'm in the habit of doing it. So it doesn't feel like a chore. And the truth is reading is so, I mean, of course, it depends on what you're reading. I'm kind of talking about fiction because that's what I read the most of. But like when you're reading a good piece of fiction, like a well-written book, no matter what the genre, it's like there is, I don't know that anything can top it, right? I mean, it's just like a movie is never going to, I don't know, you just don't get to use your imagination in the same way. You don't get to like, I don't get into a movie the same way I get into a book. I don't know, maybe people are different.
Yeah.
And I mean, I look at Aurelio too, like when I read to him, and he's, you know, reading to himself now too, but he prefers to be read to. But he gets much more absorbed in a book than he does when he's watching a movie. And I see him when he's watching a video or something, and he kind of just, you know, he gets that zombie look, you know, that we all get. And we go into the alpha brainwaves or whichever it is, and we just kind of zone out. Whereas when you're reading, you're like, you're so engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Do you want to recommend a book? Before we go, it would be hard for me to recommend one of the 12 to 14 books I read. I did think when you were talking about movies just then, I was thinking, well, sometimes a book kind of is like a movie. I don't know if you've ever read that book, a kind of book where, you know, I just finished one. I guess that's why it's top of mind, where it was written in such a way that I just blazed through it. I mean, I think I read it in less than 24 hours. I think I read it in like 2 to 3 reading sessions, and it really did seem like a movie, whereas some books feel like an epic adventure, if you know what I mean. not to say that it wasn't an epic adventure. It was, but it had a cinematic quality to it that made it just like, you know, you just blaze through it as if you're watching a film.
Hmm. I mean, I definitely can relate to the not being able to put a book down. I don't know that it's because it's cinematic in my case, or just that it's suspenseful. I mean, I just read The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte, and you wouldn't think that, you know, a Bronte is going to be writing a page turner. But I was so absorbed in this book, Katie. It was the same thing. It definitely took me more than 24 hours to read. But I blazed through it. And on the one day, I think I read like 150 page, almost 200 pages of this pretty, you know, intensely written book. You know, I mean, it wasn't easy reading. So, but I was so engaged in it. And the same thing happened, I can tell you, with Jamaica Inn by Daphne du Maurier. Those are two books that I've read recently. I think Jamaica Inn I read maybe 2 years ago, that I felt like kind of, yeah, watching a movie, not because it's cinematic, but because it was so suspenseful. I'm not going to give anything away because I'm not going to give spoilers, but you'll know if you've read the book, like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? So I recommend both of those books highly, highly to anyone looking for some engaging literature.
Okay. Tell us the titles one more time.
The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte and Jamaica Inn by Daphne du Maurier. Okay. Jamaica Inn was much more suspenseful. Okay. The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, it's not suspense, but let me just say, I would say the average reader would become very invested in what's going to happen to the main character. Extremely so.
Okay. And the book I was talking about is a 2023 book. It was not on the list I have to read for my New Year's resolution, but it's called Whale Fall. It's by a person named Daniel Krauss. And it is a page turner, like you're talking about, but it is also beautiful and tragic and about humans and how we engage with nature and the sea. And it also is just, let me just say that the premise, and this is not spoiler, this is like what's written on the inside cover, is what happens to a man who accidentally gets swallowed by a sperm whale. And we're not talking about Jonah and the whale, where he's just wandering around inside of a giant whale's stomach. It's like, what if this actually happened to a human being? And it is a fascinating and wild ride, and you will finish it in 24 hours. And if you are living in the Seattle area, which I am, the King County Library System, this is currently one of the books that's what they call a peak pick, which means they have tons of copies of it, and you can just walk into any library and grab it off the shelf without having to put it on hold. So that's how I encountered it. I was like looking for something as a space filler while I was waiting for another book I had to read to come in, and it was a real ride. I recommend it if you like kind of an adventure type story.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should leave it there. Thank you, Tyler, for your email, for your query. Good luck with your trip and with your YouTube list month coming up. And until next time, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell.
I'm Tiffany Parks.
Join us again. Bye. If you love this show, support it. For as little as $5 every month, you get to hear two bonus episodes. Visit thebittersweetlife.net and click support to explore ways to pitch in to keep this show you love on the air.